Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Vicki Hudson is here. She and I were just talking about pickles, about wine, about the Beat Generation and how it lives on in San Francisco, about authors who do dastardly things and then get in trouble for them. It's a lot of fun. But now we need to be a little bit more serious because we're on microphone and pretending that we are all professionals.
Absolutely.
Why does Vicki feel that way? Well, I'll tell you why she's qualified. She has a master's in fine arts with a focus in nonfiction writing from St. Mary's College of California. In 2007, she was a fellow at the inaugural Lambda Literary Emerging Writers Retreat. And just this year, her book Chow, 2012, was a finalist for the Global eBook Awards for Military Nonfiction. And then also in 2012, she was a finalist in the She Writes Passion Project, where she was shortlisted out of nearly 300 applicants. Also in 2012, a busy, busy year for her, her book No Red Pen, Writers, Writing Groups, and Critique, was a finalist in the Global eBooks Awards for its cover design. Her website is Vicki Hudson, V-I-C-K-I, Hudson.com, and we're here to talk about her recent work as well as upcoming projects. Vicki, welcome for the first time to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you made the drive all the way from the Bay Area. I appreciate it. What an exciting time. You've been a writer for a long time, but 2012 is a terrific year for you because you've come out with these two books, very different sort of books. But I get the sense that one wouldn't be possible without all the things that you learned about in terms of writing and critique groups and so forth. In the other book?
Well, 2012 got started with the San Francisco's Writers Conference.
Right.
And the 4 months after every conference is my most productive time. And the conference always just sets me on. And because I do a workshop there about critique, and I've done that for 3 years now, last year I decided to have a book from what is put out in that workshop. And
right.
I worked hard this year to have that book ready for the conference last February.
That's terrific. And it's important as professional writers that we think about, you know, what are the sort of communities that are going to help to inspire us to be productive in the ways that we want. So you talked about how in the 4 months after February, when the San Francisco Writers Conference happens every year, is your most productive time. And I'm sure part of it is that all these smart people are telling you stories of their own successes, as well as all the terrific practical information about, for instance, using social media, the web, and emerging technologies to promote our books and to get our books known by larger audiences.
Well, what I love about the conference is it's not just about how to do things in terms of writing, but it's about how to be a writer as a business person.
Right.
It's the entrepreneurship of writing, as well as craft and platform and other important things. And the cohesiveness is the community of writers. Some of my best writer friends I know from the conference, and I look forward to seeing them every year. One of my favorite events at the conference is the poetry reading that you do, and with Brand Henderson on the drums. It's one of my favorite times to be with my people.
Right. And I want to hear some more about that, because when you say with my people, have you felt, especially as part of your military career, that you haven't been able to really talk up your writing projects as much as you would like? Like, is that encouraged or frowned upon? Or, you know, what's been your relationship with regard to your writing and then the other things that you do in life as you know it?
Well, that's a really interesting question, Annie. I'm just about to probably retire after 33 years in the Army and the Army Reserves. And for most of that time, up until last year, my two lives were separate.
Right.
And since writers, typically, as an emerging writer, you write what you know, well, as a lesbian, I couldn't write what I knew and put my name on it because of consequences in the active service.
Right.
And now, thanks to the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, my two lives are no longer split into separate camps. And I am starting to do some writing along that. In fact, I have a call for submissions right now for the experience of gay, lesbian, bi, transgender service members since September 20th of last year when the repeal was made through this year's September 20th for what was different for them in their lives, both family, allies, and the LGBT veteran service members themselves.
That's great because there are so many important stories to tell. But, of course, as you were just saying, they couldn't be told. And so, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, homosexual people in the military, as we were just talking about, they must have felt like they were hiding two parts of themselves, and that they couldn't talk about their work as a writer, and they couldn't talk about their lives and their personal lives. So it's a great release of like creative energy from last September, as well as I'm sure pride that you don't have to hide who you are in order to serve your country.
Well, I'm happy to no longer have to compartmentalize my life, and I'm very happy that I can acknowledge my spouse. Of, you know, 12 years this February.
Good for you.
And we've been legally married in the state of California, that I can say thank you when I get promoted or I retire or this week I have a change of command, I leave my current assignment. I can thank my family for their support over all these years, and I wasn't able to do that before.
Right. Well, Vicki Hudson is here in the studio, and if you want to see some more samples of her inspiring story, I hope you'll visit VickiHudson.com. That's VickiHudson.com. She's the author of a couple of works, including No Red Pen, Writers, Writing Groups, and Critique. We're going to talk about that specific topic in just a moment. Make sure to listen to the entire radio show, because in addition to our conversation with Vicki Hudson, you'll be hearing later from Joe Wenderoth and Adair Lara. I've got four folks today, any of which would warrant an hour. An action-packed, insight-filled edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And we're back. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. Thanks very much to Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra for providing us King Porter's Stomp as bumper music on today's show. Vicki Hudson's not only an author, but she has done important work over the years to help more people attend the San Francisco Writers Conference, and I wanted to make sure she had a chance to talk about that. Vicki, what is it that you do for writers who you don't even know yet?
Well, I sponsor a scholarship at the Writers Conference to pay registration fees. It started as an MFA scholarship for MFA students, and there weren't enough entries after 2 years, so I changed it to an emerging writer scholarship. Last year, we had about 40 entries, and that's the highest we've ever had. So if you're an emerging writer, this is a really good contest because it gets you to the conference without having to pay the registration, and there really aren't that many entrants yet.
Absolutely. And we should add that when you attend this conference, they feed you.
They do
feed
you.
And the food is good.
They do. They feed you breakfast and lunch, and the rest is kind of on your own, but it's in the lodging is on your own, and getting to the conference is on your own, but you get about a $700 value of all the registration paid for. And this year, Book Baby has generously donated a standard book publishing package, which is a $149 value for the winner of the scholarship. And if there are runners-up, which there are not always runners-up, but if there are, they will get a one-year membership to the San Francisco University website, which has many of the recordings of the conference program.
And we were talking about the San Francisco Writers Conference earlier, but there is some information on craft and writing. But the conference really focuses well on what you were talking about before as the information that we need to know as professional writers. And sometimes that means carving out time for yourself as a writer. Sometimes it means critique groups. A lot of it has to do, at least many of the talks that I attend, with what are the different technologies, communication technologies, that all authors need to be aware of, not only for research and word processing, but also to present themselves to a variety of audiences. And so that means a good, strong website, but also a number of satellites, such as Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, that we use to point to that central website, which in most cases has a blog to keep people coming back for more. This is the sort of information that your scholarship winner will discover at the Writers' Conference this coming February of 2013.
Absolutely, and we've had numerous scholarship winners over the last 5 years, and one has gotten a book contract, not out of the scholarship, but because they were a recipient of the scholarship, that helped move their application through a process, because the editor knew of the scholarship. So they came back to me later and said that that did help them, you know, take the moment to take them out of the pile.
That's great. Good. Something else to plug? Or is that our main thing to plug with regard to the scholarship? How do people apply?
What do they do? First, well, you have until December 1st because that's the deadline.
It's coming up fast.
The scholarship entry time every year is September 1st to December 1st. And you need to send in to Post Office Box 387, Hayward, California, 94543, a couple items. 3 pages that represent of your writing. And this should be your best writing ever. It should leave me at the end wanting that next page, just hungry for what you were going to say. Plus, a short essay that does not exceed 500 words on the topic of I Write Because. It doesn't mean you have to start it with I Write Because, but it's got to be about I Write Because. And then you send this in to me with no identifying information. All your cover letter and your identifying information should be sealed in an envelope with your genre on the front, and mail that in to me by December 1st. As long as it's postmarked December 1st, you're good. And all these details are on my website, VickiHudson.com.
And so this is really a blind reading process. So you don't know who's applying. You don't know what their background is outside of what they talk about in their essays. And they have to leave all that identifying information out so that you can make a decision without being swayed by anything other than the quality of the writing.
Absolutely right. And the essay is very, very important. And the last two winners, what stood out was the quality of their writing and the narrative essay, and because they went farther than just the easy answer to why I write.
Right. Excellent. Tell me about some of the genres that you write in. I've really enjoyed hearing your poetry at the San Francisco Writers Conference. Obviously, you write nonfiction prose as well. What else? Tell us about the continuum of writing interests of Vicki Hudson.
Well, I also really like flash fiction.
Uh-huh.
I'm really, really attracted to the challenge of creating a complete story in less than 500 words. And I've had several of my flash fiction pieces submitted on the Redbubble Flash Fiction Forum that have won their weekly or their monthly contest. Mostly at heart, I'm a poet, but I didn't get my MFA in poetry because I figured too many other people were applying, so I took mm-hmm. nonfiction instead. And for that is the essence of an essay that tells a story, and you get immersed in it like you would a good novel.
Excellent. And you got your MFA at St. Mary's College. Do you want to say something about that program?
I did. St. Mary's program is a good 2-year program. It's a residence program. It has rotating authors that come in like any other, and it's in a beautiful, beautiful setting in Moraga, California. And I believe their application process is in the winter.
Right. And some of the past guests on this show who teach over there include Chris Sint, who is a poet who read here in Davis and earned his PhD, MA and PhD at UC Davis. Chris Sint is there. I'm trying to think of some of the other poets. Graham Faust is there.
Brenda Hillman, who just won a prestigious award.
That's right, Brenda Hillman, who's been on this radio show. So some terrific poets over there in Moraga teaching at St. Mary's. If I remember correctly, one Mr. Robert Haas taught at the program at one point, but then moved over to UC Berkeley.
He was not there when I was there.
Yeah, this is decades ago that he did this.
But I found I took some poetry classes, as many as I could, within mm-hmm. my program, and I found the poetry the most academically challenging of the entire coursework that I did there.
Oh, yeah. And did you take classes with any of these people who we've mentioned?
I took 2 classes with Brenda.
Yeah, that's great. She's terrific, and poets really just love her, and not only because of the quality of her instruction.
Absolutely. She was one of my most favored instructors, and I got some of the best things that I learned in that program were out of her classes. And the fiction writer, Rosemary Graham, who was also I took for several classes, and her fiction teaching and craft was incredible.
That's great. Now, I'm wondering, to close the loop on a conversation we were having earlier, with regard to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, did you have concerns about representing who you were and where you were in those MFA classes? because I'm sure that you wanted to, again, write what you knew. But whereas you at that time would not have been wise to share that broadly with your colleagues in the military, I'm wondering to what extent you were similarly reticent in writing groups and in the MFA program at St. Mary's.
Well, that's a great question, Andy. My thesis actually is called Weekend Warrior, and it's about my career in the Army Reserves, and it's a collection of essays. And none of the essays that I wrote at that time document that part of my experience in history, precisely because the thesis gets published and other pieces of it go out into the world. I could not risk that.
Right.
So now I'm writing those last few chapters of the thesis now as a manuscript to cover those parts of my life that could not be included before.
Yeah. Well, what an exciting and important and justified time it is for you. And interesting that you're kind of coming into your own as an out writer at a time when you're also one of these years due to get out of the military altogether.
Absolutely. I will be retiring either this year or in 2 years. I'm not exactly sure. I'm waiting for the results of a promotion board, and if they're positive, then I have 2 more years at my next rank. And if not, then I will be getting a retirement order any day.
Wow. So another reason this is an exciting time for you. What is your rank, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm currently a lieutenant colonel.
And
so I'll be a colonel if I get promoted.
If I were in the military, I would certainly have to be saluting you often and calling you. Do I call you sir?
Absolutely not. You call me ma'am.
Okay. All right. See, I don't have any military experience, so these are important lessons for me to understand. Lieutenant Colonel, that's a big deal. I hope that you you make it all the way to Colonel.
Well, I hope so too. And if not, then another door is opening. I've got some freelance writing coming up. I have a OutServe magazine has brought me in under their staff as one of their contributing writers. So I have a lot of exciting things with my writing career, which is what I always wanted to be. And I think by now I have enough life experience where I can actually just write.
Right. Well, so it's win-win. You just don't know what kind of winner you're going to be.
Well, that's true. And there is an advantage to retirement because much of my writing is limited in time available because of my obligations while I was in the Army Reserves. And without those commitments any longer, I free up about 20 to 30 hours a week that I can put into work. And you know, that just gives me more time with my family and more time to do what I love, which is write.
That's great. I guess one good follow-up question would be, have you figured out how, in a disciplined way, to use an additional 20 or 30 hours if they were to be presented to you? Because just because you have the extra time doesn't mean automatically, and this comes up at the Writers' Conference, doesn't mean automatically that you're going to use it in ways that boost your productivity by another 50 or 100 or 200%.
That's true. In fact, I recently talked about this at the California Women Veterans Leadership Conference, where I gave a presentation about how to become an active emerging writer. And one of the things I talked about was it's not how much time you spend, but it's the quality of that time and that you just spend the time, whether it's 10 minutes or 10 hours or 10 days on a scheduled basis. And I've been working through my mind what my scheduled basis will be and how I want to do that. And I kind of have it like on one day I do poetry and another day I do essay. And
right.
It's kind of one of the things I'm thinking about. So I'm still working out what that schedule will be, but the idea is that it's quality, not quantity.
Absolutely. Do you know about the Pomodoro technique?
No, other than the spaghetti.
Right. The Pomodoro technique, and I encourage you and everyone else to Google this after the show, involves you setting a timer for 25 minutes, and that 25-minute increment is called a Pomodoro, and you just, like, focus and write, and you don't answer an email, and if your phone chimes, you don't answer it, you don't get up to go to the bathroom, you're just, like, focused, writing, and then the chime rings, and then you can, like, do something goofy. You know, you might play a video game, you might answer an email, you might go see who it was knocking at the door, whatever the case may be, but then after that 5 minutes, then you dive right into another Pomodoro. You know, you got that timer going, and you're, like, cutting out the world, and you're just focused. And so what this does is it forces you to be productive in ways that that reward you, but also you you add in some rewards with, you know, the dessert after your dinner.
That's a good technique, I think, to try. I've given myself permission that after I either know I'm retired or I have to go look for a new job in the Army Reserves.
Yeah.
If I'm retired, I get 1 month to play, and I'm going to play World of Warcraft for a month because I'm way behind in my game.
Yeah.
And then start working on my projects. And that's about the time when the scholarship entries need to get looked at, because the scholarship finalists get announced in January.
Definitely. All right, good. So it's good to have a mix of ambition and play as a professional writer.
Well, it does, and I get bored easily, so I need a lot of things going on. Ooh, shiny.
There you go. All right, well, we're going to hear an important message about household allergens. We're going to end this segment of the program. Vicki Hudson, I hope you'll stick around to hear some of the other interviews, but thanks so much for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, for having me, Dr. Andy.
It's been a lot of fun. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis.